Most precious time in your life was when you're on your knees and you're whatever, however, and you're talking to your Father in heaven. Johnny, a little six-year-old, was asked by Mommy to have prayer for the meal. So Johnny begins. Johnny prays for name, all of his family, names them one by one. It's all done with the family. He starts praying for all their friends, and he starts naming them all, one by one. Goes on, and he starts praying for the meal. He prays for the chicken, the mashed potatoes. He prays for the salad, prays for the jello. He even prays for the milk. And all of a sudden, there's pause and silence. Finally, Mom reaches over and touches Johnny's hand, and he opens his eyes and says, You suppose if I thank God for the broccoli, he'll know I'm lying? Prayer. God, teach me to pray. Lord, teach me to pray. This is my heart cry, day unto day. I long to know your will and your way. Lord, teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. The disciples came to the Lord and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And as you evaluate the Lord's Prayer, the content of it, or if you evaluate John 17 and the content of it, and then you evaluate the content of our average prayer of a congregation, an individual life, etc., 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 statistics tell us this is what we pray for. 78% of our prayers are for the people who are ill, sick, etc., for health needs. 78%. Now, I know God's word says the prayer of faith will heal the sick. 14% deals with personal issues of one's life and struggles, financially, whatever they may be. 5% prays for the congregation of God's people, for the Lord's people. 5% of our prayers is for the body of Christ. 3% has inspirational content, which relates to the salvation of the lost, mission work, the ongoing work in India, whatever. Now evaluate the aspects of that and how much time we spend praying in the content of our prayers. Because I want you to see something today that I think is the most powerful thing that you and I can understand and realize in content. There are several basic truths that only you and I can find through having a true prayer life with God. Number one is, my prayer life has proved to me there is a God. I can stand here and tell you specifically prayers that I have prayed and specifically how God answered every one of them. Whether it relates to my daughter, circumstances, individual, God hears my prayers and he answers them. He has and he will continue to be faithful because he promised that if I ask, it will be done, right? In Jesus' name. Secondly, I believe that my prayers have increased my faith and my dependence more and more on God because I realize how vulnerable I am, how many times I'm so lacking understanding, wisdom, and all the aspects of life that's so important to get through one day at a time. And I know my faith has been granted in power. I remember when I worked for a Farm Bureau for a period of time. When somebody came in and I knew there was a problem, I shut the door for a while. I went and got down. I prayed for God to give me a wisdom to handle this situation properly. And I tell you, people, you'd be amazed that when you ask God for wisdom, how he gives it to you. That increased my faith. Increased my faith. Thirdly, it validates my own personal relationship with God. I'm a child of God. My Father in heaven, well, excuse me, because I don't pray to God like up there. I pray to God like here. My Bible teaches me, Romans 8, my spirit had fellowship with the Spirit of God, whereby I cry unto him, Abba. God's address is right here. That's where he dwells. Your body is the temple of God. Amen. So you don't yell, shout, you don't need to sing because you can pray without ceasing. How do you do that? Because you recognize his inner presence and you are constantly aware of him and you are never ceasing to meditate on the reality of his presence in your individual life. I think of Elijah at Mount Carmel. I got to go through the whole illustration, but you know it, don't you? How the prophet of Baal, you know, poured all of that aspect and cried and slashed themselves and cut themselves and screamed and yelled, and how Elijah made fun of them and said, you know, maybe he can't hear you. You better shout louder. And they did. And then Elijah had them pour water all over the altar, all over the stone altar, and all over the wood, and all over the sacrifice. And then he just simply asked God. And what did God do? What did God do? He consumed not only the wood, the water, the whole altar was burned up. Then what did he say? What did Elijah say after that? The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. I want to evaluate our text today that is laid out for you in this reading from Colossians, but I want you to see the content. I want you to see the content of what Paul does and how he says it. First of all, he simply says, I pray for you without ceasing. Isn't that what he said? I pray without ceasing. The aspects of that, all right? And he says, I ask. Now you look at that word ask and you probably say, well, that's significant. I ask. No, you understand the Greek word ask is in the imperative tense. Same thing is true when Jesus said, ask and it shall be given to you. Knock and you shall find. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened. An aspect of that, okay? All three of those words, ask, knock, and seek, are in the imperative tense. What's that mean? Keep on. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. Don't ever stop. Paul says, I never cease praying for you. I've asked continuously without stopping on your behalf. What did he pray for? He prayed for the church at Colossae that they be filled with what? The knowledge of his will. When's the last time you got down humbly and prayed for this congregation to be able to know and to understand and be strengthened by knowing the will of God? Interesting question, isn't it? Because that's what Paul prayed for the church at Colossae, right? That they'd be filled with the knowledge of God. Is that important to your prayer life? Well, of course it is. 1 John 5:15, this is the confidence which we have before God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Right? That's what it says. Amen? That's what it says. Well, how do we know what God's will is? How are you going to understand, find out what God's will is? Right here, people. This is the will of God that is revealed to us in the context of Scripture, right? And so Peter writes and tells us that in 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. In the knowledge of God. So we're praying for God's will. What are we praying for? When we pray for the knowledge of God, we're praying for God to bless this body with grace and with peace. That comes only from God. The aspects of that is unbelievable. The point of issue is that we need to be continuously asking. We need to be continually asking. To know God's will, we need to be filled with the Word of God. Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom. Let the Word of Christ richly be immersed. The Word is immersed. Be immersed in the Word of God. How are we going to fulfill the will of God and know the will of God if we're not immersed in his will? David could say in the psalmist, thy word have I hid in my heart, O God, that I might not sin against you. What did Jesus quote on the mount? Was it not scripture? When he was tempted, he quoted scripture. So in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, why? The aspect to be filled with the knowledge of his will in spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's why we need to be filled with the knowledge of God so that we will have wisdom and understanding. How many of you lack wisdom? How many of you have made decisions you wish God never made? Because you never prayed for God to help you and direct you and guide you in your steps, right? Don't forget Proverbs 3. which says, what does it say? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will do what? He will guide your path. He will guide your path. So James 1:5 says, but if anyone lacks wisdom, do what? Let him ask, imperative tense, continuously, constantly being asked, ask God for wisdom, who gives how? Generously and without reproach. The word reproach means that when God gives and he is telling you, he won't disappoint you. Reproach, no disappointment in you asking God for wisdom. He will give it to you, and he'll give it to you generously. He will not disapprove of you. He will not disappoint you. If you ask, believing in faith, he says, I will give it to you. Because wisdom is from God, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2 says, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. Do you seem to be picking up on the fact that there's just seemingly a lot of misunderstanding today in the whole context of what's going on and the whole concept, that there's a lack of logic and reason and common sense, a lack of wisdom? You know what understanding means? You know what the word of understanding means? Understanding means to be able to grasp something, to be able to discern it, but discern it properly, and to comprehend. That is understanding. We need to ask God and be filled with the knowledge of his will, and we need to be filled with all spiritual wisdom, not the wisdom that is of this world, because the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. It's foolishness, okay? The wisdom of this world and understanding. There's nothing that I need more than God to grant me wisdom so I can understand. The wisdom gives you the ability to understand. When's the last time we prayed for this body of people at Grand Ledge Church of Christ to be filled with the knowledge of God's will so that we would be directed by his wisdom and that he would give us understanding to do his will and whatever that might be? I know what God's will is. God wants the world won through Jesus Christ. He wants the lost to be saved. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save the lost. That was his purpose for coming. Brother and sister in Christ, our purpose is to win people in Grand Ledge to Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's what his will is. May God give us the wisdom and understanding of how to do it and what to do and the aspects of that, because it's very important. Then he says that wisdom and understanding, what? So that you will walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, to please him. Why do we need wisdom and understanding? So we can walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, right? That's what he prayed. That's what he prayed for the Colossians, that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that they would receive spiritual wisdom and understanding. So why? So that they would walk in a manner that is worthy of Jesus Christ. That's what he prayed. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord. Walk. You know what the word walk in the Greek concept? If you say you have the Holy Spirit, the Bible says walk in the Spirit. The Bible says except two agree, they cannot walk together. The word walk is used over and over in the context of bringing your will into harmony with the will of another. When you walk with the Lord, that means you're submissive to his will. You're honoring him by becoming submissive to the will of your Lord. You're following his instructions. You're following his word, the principles that he shares and he teaches, and you bring your harmony. If you say you have the Holy Spirit, then you bring your will into harmony with what the Holy Spirit inspired in this book. That means you're willing, you're wanting, you're hungering to do the will of God. And you're willing to open your life up. And God says, and Paul is praying for the church at Colossae, that they be filled with all the knowledge of God, that they would have wisdom and understanding, that they would walk in a way that is worthy of the Lord. What? To please him. Well, I know most people today don't want to please anybody else but themselves. The philosophy of our day, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? But be this. The way of man is not within himself. It's not within us to choose the path that we would walk. The way most people choose to walk today, the end thereof is death, corruption, whatever. Then he asks the aspect that you and I would be not only pleasing him in all respect, that we would bear what? Fruit in every good work, and then continue to increase in the knowledge of God. Bearing fruit, okay? Look at John 15 with me this morning very quickly, and let's read what Jesus said about that element of bearing fruit. John 15, beginning with the first verse, okay? Now, I want you to notice something very significant. Are you listening? Say yes. He didn't say produce fruit. He said bear fruit. You know what a branch does? A branch only bears the fruit. Bears the fruit. The branch does not create nor produce the fruit. Or the branch doesn't do that. The vine does. The trunk of the tree does. The branch brings life-giving flow and produces fruit. You're just the branch. Jesus is the vine. You're just going to allow him to produce fruit in your life. Get it? Okay? You're not supposed to be... Boom! Look at that. I'm love. Come on. You're supposed to laugh. I thought that was a pretty good production. You don't produce it. You simply bear it through the power and the vine that is given to you, through the strength of the Spirit of God that flows into your life. And so Jesus said, I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bear fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Right? You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. Now maybe you don't know. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible makes it plain, very clear, if you have been planted in baptism into Christ, you've been raised to walk with him. Baptism is where God grafts us into the vine. You're not baptized into some church. You're not baptized to get and become a part of any denomination or whatever. Bible teaches very clearly that we are buried with Christ. You're baptized into his death. You're baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:7, you put on Christ. You are clothed with his righteousness. So we need to make sure, how do we get as a branch into the vine? You are taken by God and grafted. God adds us to the body of Christ. Okay? Picture that. You are in Christ. You are abiding in him. And then verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, what? You can do nothing. So you have to be connected to him, right? You have to be in him, all right? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Bear how much fruit? Much fruit. And by that fruit, who receives the glory? Well, if you produce the fruit, then you'd get it, wouldn't you? You'd be getting the glory, right? But apart from him, he says you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. So who bears the fruit? Where does the fruit come from? Well, you know where it comes from. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, self. And against us, there's no law. It's the Holy Spirit in us that bears the fruit. You're simply the branch. God wants to make you a loving, kind, self-controlled, patient, gentle man of God, a woman of God, because that is who Jesus was. He was gentle. He was kind. He went about doing good and touching people's lives. He demonstrated God in such a living dynamic that he could say, if you've seen me, you have seen God. That's what I want to be. I want to give glory to God, amen? I want him to receive the glory. I don't need it. I don't want it. The only way I can do that is know that God's Spirit is in me and God is bearing that fruit through me. I don't produce it. I'm simply humbling myself before God that he can bear his fruit. And if I do that, he's going to receive the glory. Okay? Isn't that what you want? We need to be praying for this body of Christ, don't we? All of us need to be praying for one another. Just like Paul prayed for the church at Colossae, that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that they have wisdom and understanding, right? And then through that wisdom and understanding, they would begin to walk worthy of the Lord to please him. And what? Bear fruit. Fruit, 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 fruit. You know, John, 1 John chapter 3, only gives two specific aspects of how you can know you're a child of God. Number one is that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Number two is you love the children of God. You love God's people. Is that difficult? Aren't I lovable? Okay, I'm not. Melon, you love me, don't you? No, it is that love begats love, right? So if I love you, you begat you. You can't stop it. It's an ongoing aspect of power. God is love, therefore we love because he first loved us, right? Love is from God. It isn't out there in the world. I don't care what the world says. They can use love all they want to, and they can use love to get you. Yeah, they can. Yeah, they can. They can say, I love you to get what they want. God didn't love me to get what he wanted. God loved me so I could get what he got to give me. I'm going to prove that. Okay? The whole aspect is that God wants his love. Love fulfills aspects, worthy to please him and always bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of steadfastness and patience. You see, the reason we need to be continually growing in the knowledge of God is so he can strengthen us. Ephesians 2:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know what it says? Yeah, it does. Didn't Paul say in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the aspect of that knowledge and growing in that is to be strengthened with power according to his glorious might, according to what? There is nothing impossible with God. If God could create this world out of nothing, he can create you. He can make you. He can create you. He can mature you. He can develop you into a man and a woman that will be beyond your dreams and imagination. I believe in a God who can do far abundantly beyond what I even dream and ask through the power that's at work in me. Don't limit him. Just give your life to him. Let him do what he says he can do. He will not disappoint you. He will not fail you. I guarantee it. Not at all. And that aspect is steadfastness. You know what steadfastness is, don't you? Huh? Bible says it continues steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and prayer. Steadfastness is the aspect, is to be able to aspect in every aspect, to have the power to stay, to stand, to be firm. You know? Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might or power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I want to obtain steadfastness. I want to be loyal to my wife and to you. I want to be so steadfast that I am faithful and you can trust me. I want to be able to be dependable, so that you can look at me and know that Bill, when he says something, means what he says. He's a dependable man, that he's firm in what he is and who he is, that he believes and knows what he believes in and he stands for it no matter what. That's steadfastness, not wavering. Steadfastness. Patience is a forbearance. It's the ability to stay. It's ability to tolerate, to put up with. Love believes all things. Love endures all things. Isn't that what it says? Huh? I think we need a little of that today, don't we? Some of you have trouble at work, don't you? Well, I know you don't love your job, but the people that you work with need to see the love of God through you. Can't you put up with them so you can show them God's love? Huh? You ever thought about that? Maybe. I suppose you have. Okay, but then the aspect of what he goes on and says, notice the word joyously, giving thanks to the Father Thank you, Mark. I'm thankful for the roads. I'm thankful for every hole. I'm kidding. But you know why? Because it reminds me, be ye holy as your Father in heaven is holy. I want to be as holy as those roads are. I'm kidding. But the point is that joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in what? You know what? God hasn't asked you to do anything of yourself, but he's going to give you the power to do it. God hasn't asked anything from yourself to give him anything because God owes you his workmanship, and what you give back is what he gives you to give. You understand what I just said? There is nothing that you have that isn't of God. You know that? What have you gained? Who are you anyway? Who made you? You're but clay. You're but dust. You're going to go back there someday. Your body will. But I'm not. Bill Horton's not going. Bill Horton's got an inheritance. You understand what that means? Huh? So the whole aspect of this prayer is so that we would understand that why are we praying this way for God's people? We're praying for God's knowledge of his will to be done, that we become a church of wisdom and understanding, that we would be a people that would be walking in a way that is worthy of the Lord. And in doing that, we want to please him as the body of Christ here at Grand Ledge. And in doing that, we're going to indeed continue the process of being a steadfast, a patient body of people, that God is here, he is at work in our lives, and we're all doing that for one reason, because we have an inheritance. We got something waiting for us. Eyes haven't seen, nor ears have heard what God's got waiting for us, amen? That's what I shared last week. That's our hope, isn't it? Isn't hope an anchor? It certainly is. So the point, again, is found in the aspect of the point is, did you notice the powerful word there? There's a mighty powerful word there. Thanks to the Father who has... Did you understand what that means? You can't qualify yourself in the eyes of God, and he knows that. That's why he's given you his word, his promises. That's why he's given you his power of his spirit in you to do the work that you can't do of your own. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to perform and to walk in the works that he predestined and predetermined before this world was even created. He had an elect people. He had a people that he saw that he himself was going to create on the face of the earth through the power of his word and through the Holy Spirit. He didn't predestine you to heaven or to hell, but he predestined you to conform to the image of his Son, to be Christ-like in the world today. And God is at work in you for that purpose. To bear the fruit of love and joy and peace and kindness, self-control, gentleness. That is Christ-likeness, isn't it? That's Christ-likeness, okay? So I want you to stand with me right now. Come on, get up out of your seat, for goodness sakes. When somebody says stand, that means you stand. I'm going to read. I want you to stand and listen to these words. 1 Peter, okay? I want you to listen to what Peter says. Chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Are you listening? It's what it says. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Why? To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation waiting to be revealed at the last time. Got it? Let's go to heaven. Let's do what it says. Let's pray for one another that we'll all grow in the knowledge of God's will. Pray for God to be able to increase our wisdom and our understanding as a body of people. Pray that every one of us will be committed to walk in a way that is going to please God and be worthy of who he is. Pray for that. Pray that God will help you to be steadfast and patient in your life and bear fruit for him. Let the Holy Spirit flow out of you and bear the fruit, people. Let God produce the fruit. You just be the branch. And if you abide in him and his word abides in you, you will bear much fruit. And by that fruit, God will be glorified. Okay? Let's pray. Father and God, I just pray this morning that as we hear the words of the Apostle Paul and related to the church at Colossae, that we as a church will also take the admonition, God, that it will empower our prayer lives, empower who we are as your children. I pray for everyone that's here today that they will indeed be filled with a knowledge of your will. I pray, God, that they will indeed be granted the wisdom and the understanding as it relates to their jobs, to their marriages, to their relationship, to their families, to every aspect of their lives. God, grant us wisdom. Give us a heart of understanding that we can indeed discern life and happenings and things in a truthful way. And God, guide our path. Guide our walk. Help us, Father, to walk in a manner that is indeed pleasing to you and glorifying you. An example, again, that is found only in Jesus. He left us an example to follow in his footsteps. God, we want to please you, Father. And so may we bear the fruit. May we bear the fruit that glorifies you. May we each one allow your Holy Spirit to bear the fruit of love and joy and peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, self-control. God, may that Holy Spirit fill us right now. May that fruit become engendered, empowered within us. May it impact our homes. May it impact our marriages, our relationships. May it impact the people that we meet daily at work or wherever we go. May the love of God be seen in us. And I pray, God, that we'll remain steadfast and patient no matter what, because the evil around us is increasing. But God, help us to stand firm. Help us not to be moved. Help us not to waver, because you who have promised is faithful. We know that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, Father, and we know he's coming again. And we know that he has and you have granted us an inheritance that's reserved for us. And we look forward to that coming, the coming of the Son of God to take us home. So bless each one here today. May they set their minds on things above, not things down here, because that's where our hearts and our lives should be, in the world that is yet to come, and all the things you prepared for us. So bless us, God, today. Empower us as only you can as the body of Christ right here in Grand Ledge, that we might do your will. God, may we have a desire to see people brought to Christ and have the joyous, joyous hope of eternal life. And this is my prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.